Money FM 89.3. Best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. It is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. Did you know that the 14th of March is Pi Day? Because that's the annual celebration of the constant 3.14 pi. Yeah. Our next guest is a dynamic educator who is making learning math as easy as pi. He's not your average math teacher, by the way. He's actually a gaming enthusiast who is transforming the educational landscape for his students. Now, he's a former game designer turned math tutor. He employs an adaptive teaching style that incorporates points systems and progression, showcasing his real-world game design expertise. And he's going to tell us more about his way of teaching math and how he addresses the misconceptions of gaming in education. On the line with me is Jeremy Dong, who is math tutor at Math Nuggets. Jeremy, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, good afternoon, Elliot.
So, of course, Math Nuggets is a local primary school level math tuition center. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, though. You got me curious on this one. Game designer to math tutor. How did that happen? When would that epiphany occur?
Actually, I've been a math tutor longer than I've been a game designer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's always been like something I've done on the weekends. You know, it was a kind of hobby. I like teaching.
Okay.
Yeah, so after that, I went to pursue game design. And then, well, stuff happened. Yeah, I do love game design. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I felt that like teaching was more fulfilling for me at the end.
So now you're a full-time math tutor.
Yeah.
So this is something, this is a personal question. You can refuse me if you want, but I need some confirmation on this. You can make a living, a proper living, good monthly salary, just being a tuition teacher. Is that true?
Yes.
All right. No, I've got a friend who's done this for like 20 years and he's got a family. He's living pretty well. Not the most wealthy, but pretty well, can eat and all that. They can go on holidays. I'm going like, well, what do you do? I run around Singapore giving tuition. I was like, amazing. Is there a shortage of math or general tutors in your opinion, or is the demand so much more higher?
Actually, the demand in Singapore, I feel, is really high.
Wow.
Like, almost every family in Singapore has, like, their kids go for, like, multiple tuitions.
Yeah.
So what my students tell me, they don't just have one tuition. They have,
really?
Like, multiple. There are some extreme cases where they have, like, two tuitions at two places for one subject.
Oh.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing.
I think I should consider this after I leave my radio career. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your experience as a game designer. Now, I didn't mention that you've used this experience to evolve the way you give math tuition. Tell us more.
Okay, so actually, it's not very complicated thing to do. Okay, because like when you learn about game design, right? Essentially, what is a game? A game is setting the boundaries and an objective, right? That's the most basic form of a game. You set objectives and then you have boundaries, which are the rules, right?
Yeah.
So if you expand on it a little bit, almost everything in math is like similar, because in math, there is a lot of rules. And of course, the objective is to get the answer.
Okay.
So there are many different ways to approach this, right? And every single topic in math is kind of different, requires you to approach it a different way, right? So of course, you can make it like a game by applying it different ways, applying this very basic rule in very many different ways. Because you see, there are many different types of games out there, right? I heard that you're a gamer yourself.
Yeah, I try.
You try? Yeah, so what's the game that you play?
Right now, I'm playing this one. It's a very long game, Ghost of Tsushima.
Ghost of Tsushima, action game, right? The reaction one.
Yes.
The one where you have to parry and stuff.
I'm a
like
samurai,
that, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, there are many ways to play that game, right? So, in a sense, there are also many ways to solve the same problem, as in defeating the same enemy in your game.
Oh, okay. So you're using this logic with your students, but there's some math problems that are straightforward, no two ways around it.
Of course. But as you go up the levels, let's say primary 5, primary 6, secondary 1, 2 onwards, right? You notice that it's not very straightforward anymore. It's always about a concept, like let's say algebra.
Okay.
There are many different steps you need to do, but there's no like certain way they have to do it. Some students do it some parts first and some parts later. Some students like to do it all in one shot. Some students like to do it step by step. That is the many different ways that you can do the question and arrive at the same answer.
I see this working in things like, say, geometry or even probability.
Yeah, exactly. So there are many, many different ways. So all students solve the same problem in a different way. No one does it the same way, like especially complex problems, right? And there is no black and white answer, like, you know, you must do this to get the answer. No, because everyone, as long as they have a certain thinking process, they will definitely have their own spin on it in order to come to the solution.
Right. Jeremy, just to share, I've been a public speaking teacher for about 14 years, and some of the things I encounter when I teach in schools is that they don't want education, they want edutainment. How do you incorporate activities then if you're doing math tuition? I mean, you're supposed to be focused on the problem. Do you put in gamified learning activities into all of this?
So let's say for lower primary, they're more easily engaged by math that are games. You can always get them to practice basic concepts like addition, subtraction, multiplication, division with, like, sure, let's say mini card games. So you just print like stats, cards with like stats on them, right? And then you just, you know, we play a card game and then we let them compare numbers or like do addition, subtraction.
Right.
So that's a game. So that's already called gamification. So for upper primary, of course, there are websites out there like Coolbits. I think a few schools are using Coolbits nowadays. And they are like, there's also websites like Blooket, which lets the teachers set their own questions and then let the children challenge each other. So there are those websites as well. And if you're talking about just in the classroom itself, you can always put in stuff like quests. Of course, you know, games have a lot of quests, right?
Yeah.
So you can always translate this into the classroom in the terms of you do an objective, yeah, you get a
reward.
What do you get? Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really not like super complicated stuff, but like these kind of things, because game design is essentially the study of how you motivate humans, yeah, to do things, right? So you can just translate this into the classroom by giving them stuff like, you know, rewards, challenge. You know, some students are very competitive,
yeah,
setting them up against each other. That is already part of game design.
Jeremy, have you ever thought of taking this further? And I want to get your thoughts on this. You've taken game concepts and mathematical concepts and kind of put them together, you know, creating that sort of environment. Do you wonder or do you consider pursuing, I don't know, a thesis on how gaming, and this is my personal theory as well, gaming tends to, I don't know, in some way develop problem-solving skills. On the one hand, you say, yeah, problem-solving skills, that's like a math problem, but really, it can go far beyond into life skills.
Yes, it can. Pursue a thesis. Never really thought about writing one.
Let's talk a little bit more about this then. Any opinion on, say, the cognitive benefits and problem-solving skills that you gain from gaming and how you can use all of that, say, in other education disciplines, math or social studies or geometry for that matter?
Cognitive, so you're talking about, let's say, decision-making, spatial awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely you can go across anywhere, right? Because, let's say, decision-making abilities, you're talking outside of education, right? That is a very important thing to have in, like, even in sports, decision-making.
Okay.
Yeah. In, let's say, if you want to be an entrepreneur, your risk management, your money balancing, right? You need to balance your finances. Like, you can simulate those in games, especially like stuff like, you know, games like Civilization.
Yeah, yeah.
So those games already have so much resource management for you to take into account that I've known people who have Excel spreadsheets for that game.
Wow.
Because of the amount of things you need to keep track of, it's essentially resource management, right? Then you play simpler games that teach you spatial awareness. So that does help in sports, especially, right? Spatial awareness.
Yeah.
Cognitive flexibility. So that one helps you in solving problems, even in real life, approaching it from different angles.
Yeah.
Right. Memory and attention, right? Because, like, let's say if you're able to keep your attention on a certain, let's say you fight a certain boss, you can't kill him, but you're going to take like 2 hours. You spend 2 hours and then you're like just there on focus on one task. So that's already memory and attention training.
Right. Yeah. Because if you respawn, they have certain moves through the different levels that you have to defeat the boss, right? I guess maybe, you know, on this, is there a possibility that where parents are concerned, if their kids are gaming too much, perhaps they need to be guided in terms of, how do I put this, a more purposeful type of gaming, being more aware that while you're doing this, you can apply this in different aspects of life?
Okay, if you're talking about parents, right? Yeah. Of course, there are games which are just there to make your money. And you know, they have no purpose except for that to make your money. But I think parents do need to be trained to recognize benefits in certain games, right? I'm not saying that all games are like, whoa, you know, full of educational value.
Yeah. And,
yeah, but like, I think parents do well benefit from learning to see what's in certain games that actually teach their kids something outside of the classroom. And those things can apply to learning in general, like anything. Everything that we've talked about doesn't just apply to math. It applies to like a lot of things, even in the future.
I mean, like, is it, you know, purposeful gaming and not just blindly sitting in front? It's got to develop your mind in some way or open your mind in some way. I guess, Jeremy, the fact that we're having this conversation, you obviously are passionate about gaming to the point that you've implemented this in your math tuition. Have you encountered scenarios where, you know, parents going, why are you teaching math in such an unconventional way? How do you address the misconception that gaming is a distraction from academic success, particularly in math?
Yeah, I do try to not make it too much of a game. That's why I was mentioning that I mostly use the concepts of game. So at the end of the day, I don't think parents can actually tell. It is a secret. Okay, so I try to make it so that because I see the impact the most in the students, because students do come back to me, because most of the time when students first meet me in like the tuition center, the first thing they will say is, I don't understand a single thing my teacher is saying.
Yes.
So my goal is to make sure they can solve the problem themselves without having to listen to the teachers in school. I'm sorry, teachers in school.
No, but it's understandable because they're going with a certain curriculum and manner of teaching, right?
Yes, that does not fit everyone.
Yes, that's why you have the specialists using the non-school hours to give tuition.
Yeah, so I consider it kind of a success for myself when the student comes back to me and they are like, look, I can solve it even without listening to the teacher. I mean, yes, they have to listen in order to understand the basics. But when it comes to solving the problem, if they have developed their own way of solving the problem themselves, and they do not have to listen to the teacher's method and be like, oh, I'm lost, that is a success. So honestly, that kind of thing, parents normally wouldn't notice because it will come across as an improvement.
Ah, the results speak for itself.
Exactly.
All right, nice. I've been speaking with Jeremy Dong, who is a math tutor for Math Nuggets. Thank you so much for your time, Jeremy.
Thank you so much, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.